This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 28th of March 2021. Today is the new amateurs edition and we're acknowledging those who have gained a new licence and we have some information that would be useful to those entering the hobby. And in the new hams series, we discuss portable operation. We received a nice collection of individual stories from last week's John Moyle Field Day contest and you'll hear those shortly. There's an opinion piece about the delayed Wireless Institute of Australia's election of directors, and there's more in News West. News West is available on air, online, and on demand. Find out how and where at our website, vk6.net.
Thanks to those who sent in their John Moyle Field Day reports. We put these in this week's News West and not in the contesting episode coming up in a couple of weeks because the reports include lessons learned from the experience on the weekend, placing it firmly within the remit of the new amateurs theme today. Let's start in the north, in Geraldton. Jesse VK6JJM operated from the Geraldton Wharf rock wall. He ran a single operator station. Jesse tried out a resonant coil screwdriver antenna with proper earthing, and he said he learnt that he should rely on a proper length antenna and not just rely on an antenna tuner. Jesse made 36 contacts on 80 metres and 40 metres. From Dennis, VK6AKR. Some members of the WA VHF group operated from their usual haunt at Piney Lakes, south of the river. The team was Robert, VK6FRM, Steve, VK6BBM, Mark, VK6EZ, Terry, VK6ZLT, Graham, VK6FGMC, and Dennis, VK6AKR. They tried going light this time with a pop-up marquee thanks to Robert, three solar panels, chargers and batteries, FD-857s, Beofangs and Alliance handhelds. Antennas included OCF dipole and a couple of verticals for HF, a pogo stick for 6 metres and various pogo sticks and Yagis for 2 metres and 70 sims. Robert put up the OCF dipole between some trees at a height of 8 metres, a good haul. They had 15-odd VHF-UHF contacts and probably double that on HF, including Robert's long path to Washington State in the United States early on. Goodness knows what power the guy was using in the States, but he was 5 and 9 plus at this end. We made contacts with VK2, VK3, VK5, VK7, and Dennis Thinks and VK8. Members Randall, VK6WR, and Vishnu, VK6JN, set up in a park in the Riverton area. They could hear the station at Piney Lakes more often, though they could not heard. They suspected bad geography between the respective sites. Not sure the Riverton scores yet. Differences. More height on the OCF dipole. More operating positions. Refreshments thanks to both Steve and Graham. For next time, more planning around choice of antennas to suit the bands and the distances to be covered. Look ahead with propagation tools and going even lighter. Robert, VK6FRLR, reports, "This is my second John Moyle, single operator from my home QTH of Gosnells. Started late in the day, evening, and most of my contacts were on 2 metres and some on 70 centimetres. Biggest surprise of all was just after I raised my end-fed long wire, another metre higher, I managed a VK7 contact and a VK2 contact. Learnt a fair bit about it, mainly from getting into using contest logger and keeping up with the contacts. I also liked the locator feature in the software, so I could see the distance and bearings to stations. I look forward to the next one."
Does the thought of working your amateur radio station portable freak you out a bit? I guess for some of you, the mere thought of working portable would send you into a cold sweat, while others would ask, "When do we go?" Welcome to New Hams, the series, and this is a repeat of episode 40 from 2016, and it's called Portable Operations. There's been an upsurge in portable operations over the last several years as amateur radio is combined with outdoor activities. Programs such as Summits on the Air, Worldwide Flora and Fauna, which in Australia is called VK, Flora and Fauna, VKFF, with activations from national parks and nature reserves and other places, giving amateurs a reason for getting into the great outdoors and operating their portable amateur radio equipment into the bargain. Portable activities such as SOTA, Summits on the Air, and VKFF, VK Flora and Fauna, lend themselves to low-power operation as many participants hike into the location carrying their equipment. You don't even have to be part of any program to work portable. You might just fancy going for a drive or going camping overnight. This, of course, brings us to the question of equipment. I guess you can use any radio you want to use. The things to consider are antennas and powering the radio. There are many designs around for lightweight, portable antennas, or you can use simple dipoles or a long wire. Or if antennas are your thing, your outing could be all about building and trying out antennas. You'll need to utilise existing objects as antenna supports. Trees work well, and a fishing rod is an easy way to get your line over the tree. Otherwise, take your own support, such as a squid pole. I prefer trees, as I only need to carry some light rope and a fishing rod. Powering your radio is easy. Most radios are built to operate on 13.8 volts, the same voltage as your car battery with the engine running. So put some Alligator clips on the end of the power leads, clip onto the car battery, and go. Yes? Well, yes indeed, however, it's yes but. Yes, but make sure you don't drain the car battery. If you have an auxiliary battery, all the better. However, you still need to keep it charged. That means you either stop operating when the battery gets low, or you employ a means of charging the battery. Solar panels are great, as are petrol fuel generators, or simply use the car to recharge it. For me, the real reward with portable operation is being in the great outdoors. I love camping, and amateur radio provides me with a chance to combine two things that I like doing. Have you ever operated portable? Try it. You may like it.
If you're considering joining the amateur radio hobby, the first thing you'll need to get stuck into is an amateur radio license, which is issued under the authority of the Australian Communications and Media Authority, or the ACMA. There are three levels of license for amateur radio in Australia. The foundation license is an entry-level license designed to get you on air and active quickly. Your activity is limited to a few bands and transmitter power is 10 watts. You can, however, achieve some amazing results within these limitations. You can pass the foundation license assessment after passing an exam, usually after attending a one-weekend course or by reading study material set for the course. The next license level is called standard. With a standard license, you have access to more bands and 100 watts of transmitter power. The highest level is called advanced. This license gives you access to all amateur radio bands and 400 watts maximum transmitter power. Around Perth, courses and assessments for these license qualifications are conducted by Ham College, the Northern Corridor Radio Group, and the Peel Amateur Radio Group in Mandurah. Ham College have a foundation course coming up on the weekend of 10th and 11th of April. See their website, hamcollege.org.au, for more information and how to enrol. Online study is available from the Radio and Electronics School, res.net.au. In addition to the above, amateurs in general are willing to help you with advice on setting up your station. Good luck with your entry into amateur radio.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the BK6 linked repeater network and online, this is News West from BK6 ARN.
Thanks to all those people who responded to my request for some John Moyle Field Day stories, and you heard some of those from Mike earlier on in the program. So here's my story. I set up my John Moyle Field Day portable station on the Friday. I got there probably mid-morning. It was probably the hottest day for weeks, so I suffered a bit from the heat, but took my time with plenty of breaks and drinks of water. I reckon I did well, only having to cast a line with a fishing rod twice to pull up halyards for antennas, one for the centre support of the doublet antenna and the other for the GP15 tri-band vertical for 6 metres, 2 metres and 70 centimetres. Both points were 10 to 12 metres above the ground. I erected the gazebo with fly screen walls, set up the table and radio equipment, then unloaded the generator from the trailer, set it up, and I was ready to go. The site was in the bush on a hill with a negative horizon all around. It was a good site for HF activity. However, I had limited range with the VHF-UHF into the metropolitan area because I was 40-something kilometres inland from the escarpment. So how did I go? I made 106 contacts with a claimed score of 289 points. What did I learn? I learned that no matter how good your setup is, if propagation isn't working the right way, things get a bit quiet. I also learned that at age 73, it takes a lot longer to set up a portable site than it did 15 years ago, and a heck of a lot longer to get over it. But the big plus side was that I had a couple of nights in a bush camp and there was nobody else around, just me playing with radios. That was fun.
Getting into the hobby of amateur radio is as simple as getting in touch with Ham College, the Northern Corridor Radio Group, or the Radio and Electronics School and getting your foundation license. To encourage new amateurs on air, we'd like to share with you the people who have gained, upgraded, renewed, or changed their four-letter F call to a three-letter call sign license in the past month. It's Lean Pickens this month with only one addition, and that's Edward at Advanced. This is ironic, as the ACMA announced that the AMC delays were behind them. Maybe there is a glitch somewhere in the system, as we suspect there are indeed other new and improved amateurs on air. So, for the new calls, congratulations on joining amateur radio, and if you're a dab hand, enjoy your new on-air identity. Of course, if you hear these calls on air, please make them feel welcome. In case you're wondering, there are 1,393 amateur licenses held in VK6 today, a net loss of 3 over the month apparently. Is this lies, damn lies, and statistics? We wonder.
Last week, we told you that the Katanning Ham Feast is on again on Wednesday the 14th of April, and here's another reminder, as it's only 3 weeks away. The start time is 12 p.m. for lunch at the Royal Exchange Hotel in Katanning, which is in Austral Terrace opposite the railway station. The bar opens a bit earlier if you do arrive early and are a bit thirsty. The meals and desserts at the pub are very good, and the food and drinks are also very reasonably priced. To find the menu, do an online search for Royal Exchange Katanning. The Royal Exchange are happy for Rob to collate meal pre-orders to ensure they have sufficient supplies on hand, but they are also okay for meals to be ordered at the bar on the day. This year marks the 12th anniversary of the event. Although we missed 2020 due to COVID-19, and as always, you're welcome to bring a friend or your spouse. We encourage carpooling, so how about getting a small group together and head to Katanning? It's about a 3.5-hour one-way trip. Please RSVP to Rob via email by Thursday the 8th of April 2021 so that Rob can confirm the booking with the hotel. Rob's email address is vk6limadelta@outlook.com.au. Again, vk6ld@outlook.com.au.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
For those who are new to the hobby, there are resources available to help you on your way to amateur radio. The Radio Amateur Society of Australia has developed a Welcome to Amateur Radio guidebook, which provides an introduction to our hobby for newly licensed foundation class amateurs. This book is published digitally. It contains many hot links to external websites with useful information. The guidebook is available as an Acrobat PDF file suitable for reading on a PC or tablet. It can be printed if required. Visit the RASA website, vkradioamateurs.org to see this and other resources. Another valuable resource is VK Hamed. vkhamed.wordpress.com is a resource that may assist in self-assessment and improvement towards gaining an Australian Amateur Operator Certificate of Proficiency at all levels, and includes the regulations requirement such as it is now after the recent changes. The URL again, vkhamed, that's VK Kilo Hotel Alpha Mike Echo Delta .wordpress.com, or do a search online.
Phil, VK6 Golf X-Ray, broadcast the amateur radio news on 1845 kilohertz from his QDH in Gidgeganup on Sunday mornings. In fact, he broadcasts it twice on Sunday mornings. In the summer month, the broadcasts are at 0600 and 0700 hours. Phil recently resumed the broadcast after a few weeks off duty whilst repairing and replacing assets on his property, including his antennas, which were damaged in the bushfires several weeks ago. Next week on the 4th of April, Phil will commence the winter schedule of broadcasts at 0700 and 0800 hours, which gives you real early risers a bit of time for your Easter egg hunt before settling in to listen to the news broadcast on 1845 kilohertz. Thanks, Phil, for your news broadcasting efforts.
Last week, we told you about the new improved Echolink that was released recently. This week we can tell you that a further updated version has been released, fixing a bug in the new calling CQ feature. It seems that there was an issue that could prevent stations calling CQ from being able to connect to each other. I wonder why that was a problem. Anyway, it's fixed, and the current version of Echolink is 2.1.109. As we predicted here on News West some weeks ago, and as you would have heard on the WIA's national news several minutes ago, the closing date for the return of ballots in the WIA board's directors' elections has been extended to the 30th of April. This delayed ballot is a bit of a debacle, in my opinion, and what's more, it was completely avoidable. Including the ballot papers with the amateur radio magazine is a reasonable thing to do, compared with the cost of a direct mail out to members, as there is a substantial cost saving in postage. Historically, though, the use of postal delivery, also known as snail mail, for distribution of ballot papers, even pre-COVID, has resulted in members in some states receiving ballots much later than those on the eastern coast states, and there is an equal delay in returning of ballots. The postal delays attributed to COVID have made it worse. What gets my goat is that the returning officer, under the direction of the Board of Directors, chose to continue the practice of enclosing ballots in the AR magazine, which travels across the country slower than letters, whilst being fully aware of the added delays due to both the COVID factors and the amateur radio magazine still playing catch-ups after the interregnum with editors of that magazine. There is a solution, and it requires no changes to any rules or regulations. The Wireless Institute of Australia's Constitution, Section 14.1, Election of Directors, says, and I quote, "Election of Directors shall be conducted before each annual general meeting by postal ballot or electronic means, in accordance with the Wireless Institute of Australia's ballot regulations, as amended by the Board from time to time." So electronic means are an available option without changing the rules. The Wireless Institute Board has at its disposal a collection of members who are very clever software developers, as evidenced by some of the facilities that have been developed by volunteers for the Institute and amateur radio in general over the years. Isn't it time that our Wireless Institute caught up with the times and changed from conducting their electoral ballot via a postal service that preceded Morse code by more than a century? For goodness sake, we used to be the hobby running on the bleeding edge of technology, but we still use the Pony Express to elect our Institute directors. With the Institute's AGM coming up soon, we must make sure that the questions are asked and demand that future director elections are conducted via electronic means. Now, on a lighter note, most weeks I finish off compiling News West sometime on Fridays, then upload and do the promotions on Facebook, email and websites. Now, last weekend was the John Moyle weekend, and I was determined to be up and running in time for the contest to start at 0900 our time on Saturday. So one determinant of the site for my contest station was mobile phone reception. After I'd set up camp and the station, that was on Friday, I got out the laptop, connected to my phone's hotspot, and compiled the individual components of the news, usually around 20 pieces of audio, into one long MP3 file, checking the audio levels and quality as I go, then uploading and promoting it. The weather was stinking hot, and I'd forgotten to pack the air conditioner, so I sat there in my shorts enjoying the puffs of breeze that wandered through the gazebo as I completed the tasks at hand. I'm not seeking a medal or a chest to pin it on, I'm just describing what can be involved in bringing you News West. Other times I've recorded items in a tent, and when the news is completed, driven several kilometres to find a mobile signal in order to upload and promote the news. I'm not sure if that makes me martyr or hero, make up your own mind, but it's all part of the fun, isn't it?
Amateur radio clubs play an important role in maintaining and growing the hobby. It's in clubs that newcomers learn how to kickstart their hobby, where amateurs get together to share information, build stuff and participate in activities. People outside of clubs, especially newcomers to the hobby, are looking for ways to meet other amateurs and to learn things. The News West cycle of weekly themes includes a club focus episode where the program is handed over to the clubs to promote, educate and include the amateur community. There's a couple of reasons for this. Your club benefits from promoting its existence and what it does. Other clubs and individuals benefit from hearing about your activities and your sharing of what's been going on. Here's the deal. We here at News West are prepared to hand over 100% of the program time, that's the full 30 minutes, to clubs in the Club Focus edition. You feed News West with audio recordings and text, and we glue it all together. You give us 30 minutes worth, and that's what goes to air. You give us 5 minutes, and we'll fill it up with something else. So it's over to you, really. For Club Focus next weekend, please get in your items to us by noon Friday. Send it as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net. And by the way, if you're a little bit ginger about writing and recording items for the news broadcast, WA Amateur Radio News offers a half-day course in doing just that. We offer you the tricks, tips, and techniques to get you on your way to recording your own items. Contact us via email to newswest@vk6.net.
Last week, I had a bit of a rant about the general lack of engagement of the amateur radio community in News West, and those views still stand. I want to talk about it further, because it's important. It's important because News West can't be a news service for amateurs unless the amateur community engages with the process. By that, I mean that if you want an amateur radio news service to be relevant and useful, the content must be fed from the amateur radio community. I must make it clear at this point that I am grateful for the contributions that do come from clubs when I request it for Club Focus, and the small trickle of other stuff that I get from other folk is appreciated. Almost every week we invite contributions from the amateur radio community, and although we'd love a beautifully scripted and recorded piece sent to us, we also give the option of emailing just ideas to us. But for the larger part, this falls on deaf ears. And you know how often this happens? Our team records the news, I compile it, upload it, promote it via social media, websites, and so on, and then within 24 hours, emails start appearing on the WA Ham's email list, announcing something, describing something he did last week, or going to do next week, and so on. Many of these would have made excellent, interesting items for the news. I'd hate to think that it's a deliberate strategy to avoid feeding information to News West. It's more a case of people not considering all options when it comes to telling a story. Folks, there's a danger in all of this, and that is that what you hear on News West is, for the most part, what I'm interested in, and it's my opinions, my view on things, my slant, my bias, one way or the other. I can't believe there are no other opinions, no other interests, that would make a good story for News West. Our editorial policy is simple. It must be about amateur radio or directly relevant to the hobby, and it must be relevant to or of interest to Western Australian amateurs. So that's pretty broad. In closing, I'm appealing to the amateur radio community to engage with the news service. I believe that VK6 amateur radio broadcasts may be the longest continually broadcast service in Australia, and we must ensure that it remains a vibrant and representative news service for Western Australian amateurs.
Good morning once again. This is Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline. The 28th of March, 2021. Today I'm still looking for a discone antenna for Simon. If you have a discone scanning antenna, or he wants one for his scanner, please contact Simon on 0429 912 189, 0429 912 189, or his email is foxtrot sierra tango oscar papa 2000 002, that's fstop2002@yahoo.ie, Ireland. Oh, okay. That email address once again is foxtrot sierra tango oscar papa 2002@yahoo.ie. Next item wanted is a Kenwood microphone type Mike Charlie 35 Sierra in good working condition, please. If you have one, please contact Terry, VK6 November Tango Juliet. His email address is Tango Echo Romeo Romeo Yankee Oscar November Echo Bravo Echo Alpha Romeo at gmail.com. I'll say again more slowly. Tango Echo Romeo Romeo Yankee Oscar November Echo Bravo Echo Alpha Romeo at gmail.com. It says Terry1Bear@gmail.com. Next item, a group of items I have come from a deceased estate, VK6 Papa Papa, I believe. And the following items are available. The President Hotel Romeo 2510 11-meter CB transceiver, $150. There's a Yaesu Sierra Papa 8 speaker with integral filter unit, $200. A Yaesu Fox Tango 920 HF 6-meter all-mode transceiver, $1,000. An ICOM IC22 Sierra 2-meter FM transceiver, $25. A Kenwood TS680 Sierra 6-meter all-mode multiband transceiver, $260. There's also a Dick Smith Electronics power supply, a Delta 3800 adjustable voltage 30-amp power supply, an Ashi Mic Echo 2X VSWR meter, $15. Various other items in the office on those. Switch mode antenna attenuator, I believe. It looks like that anyway. Any offer on that? Next item I have is a heavy-duty braked tower winch, surplus requirements. If anyone's interested, you can get in touch with Andy, VK6 Oscar X-Ray, 0448-028-414. That's 0448-028-414 for that heavy-duty braked tower winch. And finally, just repeating for John, VK6 Alpha Uniform, he's looking for a manual or a front-loading VCR recorder, VC Alpha 460 front-loading tape player, complete unit, or just the handbook for same. Someone did contact John and said he could help him, but he's mislaid the details, unfortunately. So if you can contact John again, please ring 0892917908. That's 0892917908. Well, the email is Alpha Sierra Alpha Lima India Figure Number 2@westnet.com.au. That's all for me this week. Thank you for listening. Until we meet again next week. 73 from VK6 X-Ray Victor.
Contributions for News West are always welcome, and these can be sent as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net. If you haven't already sent in your John Moyle Field Day logs, please attend to it promptly. Logs must be received by the contest manager by the 13th of April. And as of Friday, 15 VK6 logs have been submitted. Now this is important. Next week's News West is the Club Focus Edition, so clubs, it's over to you. We need your items, please, by midday Friday, and as always, your recording is always better value than ours. Thanks to the studio team this week, Roy, Mike and Jeff, and thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors. And thanks for listening. All you need to do now is to hang around for the callbacks, and if callbacks don't happen, go to vk6.net and record yours there. Once you've done your callback, arm yourself with your beverage of choice, then get on air and make some noise.